hey, you're going to have some empty buildings here, perhaps. Building owners are not going to want to do a major replacement, but they are interested in keeping that roof together, keeping it leak-free for the long term. And that's what Service did. I think the best thing about Service is that it is just so profitable. In our business, we did about 30% of our business in Service, but over 50% of our profits came from that Service department. Is that what you found?
Absolutely. I mean, we got a perfect storm, really, you know, shortage of materials and potential recession. And, you know, you and I are old enough to go through the last dip in the economy. But what was really interesting about that is our Service department did not lose during those years. In fact, our Service department continued to grow, but our re-roofing department was cut, you know, down to about a quarter of it, of what it was. Mm-hmm. On the back end of that, when the money freed up, our re-roofing department exploded, like times 10. And our Service department continued to grow. So the fact is that Service helps re-roofing, and re-roofing helps Service.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Roofer Coach Podcast. We have got episode number 302. I'm Dave Sullivan. And I've got my co-host, John Delorier. We got our new program going. And in case you're wondering what's going on, we have rebranded the Roofer Show podcast to the Roofer Coach podcast because that's what we do. We coach roofing contractors. So, John, let's get into it. What's going on in your life? You know, tell me about the week.
All kinds of stuff, Dave. Definitely looking at partnerships from our roofing business. Had a conversation, really? A third interview conversation, actually with a competitor. So
product placement.
There you go. We're doing some of that with the roofing business, working on production. Team Vision sold a roof last week for the first time. So we've got the training done with that. Doing different things with ProLine, trying to reach out to contractors. Still got three kids. None of them died this week. So with that.
You haven't passed any along to your on the doorstep anyway, huh?
That's right.
Well, I've had a great week. Very interesting week. First off, I want to go back and talk about this this ERC credit. And if you go back to episode number 284, we talked about this, and this is a credit that you may be eligible for as a roofing contractor or any business. And basically, it is a credit up to $26,000 per employee, and you need W-2 employees to qualify for this. But go check out, what do we got? rpcfinancial.com, rpcfinancial.com. And there's a little quiz that you can take. It's got a landing page, and it'll tell you if you potentially qualify or not. But I'll tell you, and the reason I bring this up, because this week I just followed up with these two contractors, and I shit you not, one contractor is getting $500,000 back in a tax credit. I mean, that's real money. I've got another guy that we work with, and he's getting $56,000. So I haven't talked about this in a while, and I'd forgotten about it, but you may be eligible. This thing, you got to check out. And what's interesting is a lot of CPAs aren't even aware of this program. Okay. This came out of the one of the recent infrastructure programs. Yeah, they've got free money. So that's really something you want to check out. So I just wanted to bring that up again. Any questions, get in touch with me. It's potentially huge for you. But this week, kind of interesting, we have gone 6 months here in California. We got a freaking drought, and it has not rained. It's got to be close to 6 months. And the other day, we got this huge dump. And that tends to be what happens, is that, you know, we get this dry weather and then the first rain of the year, it just dumps. And everything changed. I mean, here we are having dinner outside every night and, you know, it's just beautiful. Summer, I love it. Temperature dropped. They've got 4 feet of snow up in the mountains. All of a sudden, the resorts are open. Patty says, hey, let's go skiing. We got about two and a half hours away up to Lake Tahoe. I don't want to get cold. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready for winter. So she blows up there with a girlfriend, goes skiing. I'm like, knock yourself out. But and here it is today, 65, 70 degrees. And that's how California works. But the point being, you get that one big rain and just all hell breaks loose because it hasn't rained in 6 months. Nobody knows the roof leaks. All of a sudden, we get these, you know, the phones ringing off the hook. Now, in our business, we are commercial roofing contractors, good-sized company. We would get about 250 emergency leak calls the first rain. And the way that we provided service, and we're talking about having a maintenance and a service division providing great service. And the important thing was to our customers, and most of these guys are, you know, they're commercial property owners and they've got tenants, and their tenant calls says, hey, I got a leak, to the building owner. They call us, and we had a system down where it was just seamless. We would get the information from the tenant. We call them, tell them that, hey, we're going to be out there sometime. You can imagine, you know, all hell's broken loose. We're going to get out there when we can today. And we would always get somebody out there. And the important thing is to just at least show up, because what our job is to make the building owner, our customer, look good, like he's taking care of business, as opposed to, oh yeah, we'll get out there in 2 weeks or something. So we would have anybody. I mean, we were driving dump trucks or whatever just to get out there. And a lot of times, you know, we would go up there and we could find something obvious, even if it's pouring rain, make that repair. They would come back, bring the report back. And now we've got a temporary repair done in the rain. We've got to go make it permanent. So there's an additional sale. When they're making that repair, they would do a survey of the roof, because if you can just get on that roof, you know there's going to be additional problems that we can, you know, provide. We can bring that roof up to a maintainable condition, is what we called it. So starts with the leak, lead with service, provide a great service, go back there, fix the leak, make it, you know, permanent. And at the same time, there we are on the roof, dry day, we can really see what's going on and give them the quote for that. It was just a great system. I mean, I love service departments. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got a great interview with Brian Mitchell. He is with the Sales Transformation Group, and he provides the it's the lead with service, building a commercial service department. And they have got a great course over there, along with a lot of great courses. And this one in particular, we're going to get into, because he worked, well, we'll get into the interview, but he built this huge service department. I think they've got something like 30 trucks down in Florida. And that's a great story on what he did, how he did it, why you're going to be interested, and why you really want to get into the service business. But check out his course, and you can go over there at salestransformationgroup.com/roofershow. I'm going to change that to the roofer coach, but it's roofer show. And you can see what the program is. They've got training programs that will teach you how to sell with confidence. And it's great stuff. And speaking of getting on those roofs, this is what Peak Leads does. I want to give a shout out to to Nick Perrette over there, Peak Leads, because they've got a system really leveraging technology, their program, they will get you on commercial roofs. Those hard to get onto, determine, you know, directly with the building owner. They have a great way of, you know, getting in touch with them and getting you on those roofs. So if you're a commercial roofing contractor or looking to get into the commercial business, these are the guys to speak with at peakleads.io. So that's what's going on with my week. But, you know, so, you know, it's beautiful. Actually, tomorrow, gotta love California. I mean, skiing 2.5 hours away, heading down to Pebble Beach tomorrow. Son-in-law is a professional golfer, so he's got a tournament down there, and going to go check that out. 70 degrees. What's not to love, except those taxes and all the other crap that's going around here in California. But anyway, John, tell me, let's talk about residential repairs. Sure. Because we have got a number of the contractors in our coaching program. We talk about this. Do you do repairs? Do you not do repairs? How do you do them? And most everybody we talk to, I mean, they got it screwed up and they're not making any money. They're losing money on it, but just don't know. What do you do in your roofing business?
Yeah. So one of the most controversial topics, if you see in all the Facebook groups or just in the conferences or the expos, should, if I'm a residential contractor, should I do repairs? How do you do repairs? What do you do? Some people do it really well, depending on the market. It really is market by market basis. But in general, most people are not charging enough. So in my business in the Athens, Georgia area, and Savannah, Georgia area, both that kind of that western, the eastern coast of Georgia, it's hard to sell residential repairs. You can do them a lot, but people are really not going wanting to pay what it takes to actually take the time, mm-hmm. do it correctly. And so it is really, really difficult to break into that. Now, so going back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, I did meet with a potential partner for our business, and he has an in-house residential group. So his guys are full-time repair guys. They don't do full replacements. They're only for repairs. And so in my experience and what I'm seeing is that a lot of guys who subcontract, so our replacement guys are, they've been with me for 6 years. They're very loyal to me. They're subcontractors, but it's very difficult to do the repair scheduling when you have, you know, a smaller crew, needs to be more timely manner, like you said, about, hey, just getting somebody out there today. So right. You really, really need an in-house crew or a really, really responsive subcontractor. It's really hard to find. So responsiveness is the number one thing for residential mm-hmm. stuff too, because it's their home. It's not just making right. the property owner look good for the tenants. It is a homeowner needing somebody there to stop the water from coming in their kitchen. So mm-hmm. really, really, from what I see, you need an in-house crew to do repairs. And that's how you can be profitable. Just make sure that you're timely, communicate really, really well, and that you're doing the repairs for the appropriate price. Know your labor burden for that crew. Know your labor right. burden for each individual employee or subcontractor, depending on your crew, as long as they're working with you closely. So again, communicate is probably the biggest thing. And I'll talk about one tool that I use that Dave recommended a long time ago is Ruby Receptionist. They've been a phenomenal tool for me. So
gotta answer the phone.
That's right. So you need to communicate. It's just astounding to me. I'll call other contractors around the country and they'll go to their voicemail or won't go to anything. So if you're a one-man show or you have a full-time receptionist, you need Ruby Receptionist. They're going to back up your receptionist if you have one, or if you're a one-man show, while you're driving down talking to somebody on the phone or talking to another customer, just going to make sure that your prospect gets a live person that knows your company name, knows the weather in your city, knows all the pre-qualification questions that you have for them. Phenomenal for my business. Huge, huge value. Whether, again, one-man show or full-time receptionist. So
yeah, it gives you the chance. I mean, you should not be spending your time answering phones, taking it down, particularly, you know, half the calls are going to be some sales guy or something like that. You need to be out selling roofs, focused on that. If you're a small shop, and also you're going to present yourself, that brand, as a larger operation, not chucking a truck, because if you're rolling over into voicemail, they're not going to leave a message. I mean, you know, they know you're not going to call them back, and they're probably right. So they're just going to go to another contractor.
That's right. Crazy. And on top of all the communication part of it, they schedule the appointment. So they're using Calendly. The Calendly is connected to our CRM, and then everything's already in the system. We don't have to go back and get an email and then transcribe and double data entry. Ruby Receptionist is doing that for us. So again, make sure you have a good CRM. The CRM that I use is ProLine, an excellent communication tool as well. So we want to communicate from the Ruby Receptionist to the initial lead, to before the proposal, before the appointment, to whenever we send our Sumo quote out, we're going to send an automated sales follow-up. We're going to make sure that no matter what, no matter if we get sick, no matter if our guys go on vacation, our sales team needs to take a weekend off, the customer's still getting a follow-up automatically with ProLine. And then it moves forward, moves all the way to the end of the job, getting that review, the review generation, and then referral requests. So you're using those automations to make sure that you sell the job. You're also getting the review at the end of the job as well. ProLine is the way to go. You just go to useproline.com.
And then, or they can go to, how do they get in touch with you to get into it a little more?
So for any of our sponsors, you can reach out to me directly. If you have questions about these, you can obviously use the link, and then I'll direct you to the link if you reach out to me. But reach out to the Roofer Coach on Instagram, on Facebook, and we're going to have YouTube, we're going to have TikTok, all everything. You'll be able to reach out to me directly at the Roofer Coach.
I like it. Well, we're just starting off this show. We're kind of stumbling along, trying to get it a little honed down and so forth. But one thing I want to do is just really kind of focus on what we're doing, who we are, who we're speaking to, and really kind of dialing this down. What makes us different, differentiation, and why would you care? Why would you be interested in listening to our show? There's a million great podcasts out there. So this is just like your roofing business. What makes you different? What, you know, what makes you better? And you should be speaking to that ideal customer. And that's what I just want to go over real quick and see if you, the listener, fits into this customer type and if you're in the right spot. But our podcast is a little different because, and that's why we really switched it from the Roofer Show, where I was doing mostly interviews, to the Roofer Coach, because that's what we do. We coach roofing contractors how to improve their business, how to grow their business, how to make more money, and how to get more free time. And so we really look at keeping things simple. This is, you know, from my 30 years of experience as a roofing contractor, these are the things that I think are really important. This is what we teach in our coaching. And it's simple. You keep it basic. And the first thing, and we're designing this new website. So we've been kicking this around and making sure that we really dial down what we're about, and which is what you need to do in your business. But number one, this is something I like to talk about. I call this a scale-free zone. All you hear about is scaling your business. I'm going to 10X, 20X, you know, and this whole idea of scaling, of growing your business, that's one thing, but nobody ever talks about profitability. So we've got the non-scale, but this is a profit zone because this business is all about profit. This is not a volume sensitive business. It is a margin sensitive business. We're not selling carpets here. We're not putting butts in airplanes. We are selling products that are primarily, we've got variable costs. And that makes it different. So we're focused on profitability. And when I say not scaling, we talk about really the basics, building a strong foundation. I get so many contractors that come to me, hey, I'm doing $3 million and I want to do 10. I want you to take me to $10 million. I go, okay, great. Are you making money at three? Well, not really. Well, if you're not making money at three, you're sure as hell not going to make money at 10. You're just going to lose money faster. So that's what we talk about on this show. In our coaching is you've got to be profitable. And when we talk about profitable, what does profitable mean? Well, just real simple rule of thumb. Hey, if you're a $3 million company, you as the business owner should be taking an owner's compensation of 10%, let's say. So that's 300 grand. If you're running a $3 million company and you're not making 300 grand as a salary, you got a problem. Your job is to provide yourself, you know, you and your family a good lifestyle. Okay. That's why we're doing this. So that starts off with that 10% owner's compensation. Now we've paid all our costs. We've paid our overhead. Bottom line, net profit. We want to see a good 10% there. Another 10%. That's another 300 grand. Okay. Now, if you're doing that, you got a good, solid foundation. You're running a good business. Then we can talk about growth. But until you get to that point, you know, why do you want to scale? I don't understand this, okay? Why would you want to do more top line? Because now we're talking about additional trucks, additional people. You know, what are you going to go hire a couple more crews? Oh, they're out there, another sales guy? Ah, no problem, just go down to the sales guy store. No, it's difficult. Cash burn also is huge. And, you know, what we talk about is do less, make more, because we can focus on the margin. If we talk about taking that $3 million company, why don't we make more money at $3 million? Let's get that optimized through all the things that we're talking about, just like what John's saying, through, you know, really the use of automations, getting these processes and systems down pat. And then with that strong foundation, we can move on from there. So that's our non-scale zone. It's different from anybody else. It's not very exciting, which is why I don't sell a lot of books or have people wanting to go to my seminars. I'm just goddamn jealous, you know, that's it. And then we talk about the three-legged stool. Now, business is like a three-legged stool. You have to sell work, do work, and keep score. Those are the three legs of our business. And if one of those legs gets weak, stool topples over, likewise our business. So we could have all the sales in the world, but if we don't have the crews, the people to install it profitably, it doesn't work. We got a weak do work leg. Scorekeepers, if we're not job costing, if you're not job costing your jobs, you got no idea of whether you're making money or not, or what type of work you're making money on. You need to be job costing. And that's the scorekeeper's job. So that's the three-legged stool concept. Okay. The other thing that we cover, talk about all the time, the 2-week vacation. Where did you take your family on the 2-week vacation this summer? If you're say, I can't take 2 weeks off, my business would fall apart. John, we don't have a business. You got a job, right? That is different. And the idea is we need to remove ourselves from that day-to-day action. Just the stress. We talk about how do we get our time back? Well, we build that out. You know, with a good business plan, having the right people, systems and processes in place. And when we start working with somebody, well, when you start a business, you build it to sell. And what that means is all along the way, we're building this out to at some point be able to sell. Or we have options at the end of the road. And why that's so important is because if that business relies on you, there's no value to the business, because without you, the company doesn't run. And that's why we start off with the 2-week vacation. you start working with us as coaching. We're going to set that. Okay, next July, where are you going to go for that 2-week vacation? And those are the steps to get you there. So another big concept. And just last one is the one-page business plan. You've got to have a business plan for your company. Particularly now, we're coming into some uncertain times. 2023, it's going to be different. You know, I'll tell you, you're seeing a slowdown coming on now. What is that going to look like? And here, everybody's still talking about the scaling thing. You know, how about having a plan? What happens if you have a 10% decrease in sales? 20%. It can happen. I've been through, being at my age, I've been through a few recessions and they're ugly. You want to plan for that. And this is why you want to go download. We've got a free download. It's called the one-page business plan. And you can go to theroofercoach.com, download it. It's going to take you a couple hours maybe to go through it. And it's really that process of planning that it's taking a step back, going through that process, you know, okay, who's our ideal customer? You know, what business are we really in? What's my why? Why am I doing this? What's my definition of a success? We have to understand all that. John, you've done it a few times. What do you think?
It's super essential to me. I've done it at least a half a dozen times in the past few years. Understanding my why is a big thing. It changes over time. I recommend doing it at least once a year, but then definitely understanding your ideal customer. Like you said, your perfect avatar. Who is your, an example, we live for one of our markets. We live in a college town. Our average age is anywhere between 50 and 65 or 70. They're retiring, either nearing retirement age or they're retiring, and they care about quality because this is the home they're going to stay in for their grandkids to visit. They want to do a good job. They're not looking to move in the next 3 years. That's our ideal customer. And so you really, really need to focus on that's who you should target to with marketing, with all of your ads. You need to be your company image, your logo, the way your trucks are wrapped. Everything needs to be focused on marketing to your ideal customer. Super, super essential for the success, especially when there is a downturn economy. You want to make sure that you're only marketing to those types of customers. I can't stress that enough. So yeah, one-page business plan is the way to start that. It's worth your time doing. You can do it, like Dave said, in a couple hours, and it really will make an impact on your business to help you have guidance moving forward.
Well, along the lines of what we're talking about, taking action and really putting these ideas into your business to incorporate those to really implement. And so we have a segment that is actually part of our business plan. It's called The One Thing. I stole that from a book, but it really makes sense. And so we take one thing at a time. This is how we do. We don't get, you know, you get a to-do list. You get a million things on there. You don't know where to start and so forth. So we focus on the one thing. What's the one thing that is the most important thing we can do for the business right now? It's not the only thing, but it's the one thing that we're going to concentrate on. And today, you know, for instance, we're going to talk about building a maintenance program. I think that's, we got tough times coming on. Big shift to maintenance. It really makes sense. But the one thing that I want to focus on is what you said, John, is that ideal customer. Okay. And that's part of the business plan. It's an 8-step plan. One of those items is the ideal customer. How do we know who our ideal customer is? Why does it matter? As opposed to, hey, everybody's my customer. No job too small, no job too big. We work for anybody. I'll match anybody's prices. You know, all of that garbage that you see on some of these trucks, it's amazing. So as opposed to, you know, not spray and pray, we are laser focused on who we want to do business with. And really, you know, we can focus our marketing money on that. going after the people that can afford our services, that aren't going to give us a bunch of crap about, you know, oh, your price is too high and so forth. John, tell us about how they can really implement this idea about identifying that ideal prospect, that ideal customer. What can they do to make it really simple, focused, and that they can implement today?
So everything you're saying is exactly how I did it in my business. So I want to know, again, that the avatar, determine that, you know, who it is. That's your first thing. That's right. Serve that type of person. But then getting deeper into it, you really want to know the exact services that you're really good at and can be profitable at. When I started my business, we were doing everything. We were doing kitchens and windows and everything in the world. We'd say yes to everything. Do not do that. It is so tempting to do that, especially when work is slowing down. Still focus on the things you're good at and then create partners that you can work with to provide value to your homeowners. So let's say you have chimney services. I have two different companies that I refer for chimney services. We don't do that. We refer to those two companies, and the customer loves us because we gave them value, and somebody else who does chimneys really well can make sure that chimney is in tip-top condition. So you want to make sure you provide the value, but you don't do other things you're not good at. That's a huge thing. Is like, that's what you do. You do these things. Just stay focused on those. And then another one that I've learned this year is where do you serve? Don't just go. A lot of people chase storms. That is a good business model for some people if they like that lifestyle. But if you're going to build a brand that's trusted, that's local to a certain region, make sure you stay there and serve your customers with excellence. That's a huge thing. You know, we were in the Athens, Georgia area. We maxed out our sales for 3 years in a row. So we added in a location. But you really need to be very strategic about that. Yeah. Study the market. Make sure you understand who the competitors are. Do a market analysis for advertising, things like that. That's how you know where to go. Those are just some quick tips on how to do that one thing for the one-page business plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Last week we talked about dominating neighborhoods. And this is where I'm going to open it. You know, I'm going to expand out to these areas. Well, you have not dominated that one area. So when you're just known as the guy, you know, the best roofer in town to do these certain tasks, these certain services, this is where you want to be. You want to dominate those areas first and stay focused on that. And before you expand either branch or expand your areas, and that is so important. And the last thing about identifying that customer is really what makes you different and why would somebody want to buy from you and not somebody else? And if you can't differentiate between your competitors, and you're just a commodity, there's no reason they wouldn't go with price. I use the example, bring this up a lot. I had my roof done last summer. Crazy. Okay. You know, my wife gets, three, four quotes, probably one or two doesn't show up, of course, but we get these things. They email them. Nobody follows up. Didn't hear anything. I just get this thing and emailed to me. Put it on the side, you know, okay, yeah, one of these days we're going to have to get into that. I pull them out. They all look the same. There's no difference. You know, so why wouldn't I go with the lowest price? I don't know the difference. So this is where we talk about differentiation. What makes you different? All of the things that you provide that your competition doesn't. And if you can show the difference, you can charge a higher price. You can be more profitable. But without all these things, really identifying that ideal customer, really focusing this down, you know, it's a much harder road. It's a much less profitable road. And that's why I just go back to the business plan. It'll give you all instructions to do that. And it works, right, John?
It does. Super helpful for my business. And I know that it'll be helpful for your business.
Yep. It's definitely the one thing do that one thing, implement it. You can implement it this week. Sit down and really focus down on this, and you will be so much better off. You'll be, it's so much easier. So that's the one thing that we've got for this week. So let's just jump into our interview. And we've got Brian Mitchell with us from the Sales Transformation Group, and great conversation about how to build an awesome service department. And we want to lead with service. And what does service mean? How do we control this? What do we provide the customer? What do we charge for it? What do we charge the customer for? It should be very profitable. We did in our commercial business, our annual sales were approximately $10 million. And about 25% of that was from service. And probably well over 50% of our profits came from the service department. This is what we're talking about. It's such a profitable business. It's a great way to really, we call it lead with service. And this is how we develop our future customers, future re-roofs, by leading with service. And particularly as things slow down, this is what was worked so well in my business. You know, as I say, I've gone through a couple of recessions, not the 1929 depression. You may think so, but it's been through a few. And when the sales drop, the projects drop off, where you've got empty buildings, you don't have, just all this money that everybody's making and they don't think about it. Now you've got some empty buildings, commercial properties. They're not going to put on a roof. They're not going to spend this huge capital expenditure. They're going to want to, how do I repair this? They've got to keep the roof from leaking. This is what service is about. And this is what we're going to get into. Great conversation with Brian. Knows his stuff. So let's just jump into it with Brian. What's going on? Great to see you again.
You too. Likewise. Great to see you.
Well, you're looking pretty tan there, I got to say.
Thank you, sir. And I want to say that about you, too. You've got a good tan right now.
Well, I just got back from Cabo. I was down there for the weekend, down in Mexico. So I got a few days, but it looks like you do this for a living.
I live on the beach half of the time anyway. My grandkids are in North Carolina, so you know what that's like. We spend a lot of time up there.
Yeah. Ah, very nice. Well, I heard you on Nick Peretz with Peak Leads. He has also a podcast, Commercial Roofing Radio. And you guys had a great conversation, but I've known you through Ryan Groth over at Sales Transformation Group. Great program over there. So I wanted to check this out. I've got a lot of contractors that are interested in the service department, building a service department, and like to get into that and see what kind of program that you've got. But first, give us a little rundown on what you do, where you came from, and what's up with that accent of yours.
Yeah, well, we got to this country the hard way, by boat. And I think the only difference between us and a lot of the immigrants you see on the news is we had a nicer boat. But my wife and I sailed here from South Africa, and that was a long time ago, but I have never learned to speak the language properly. But they do allow me to vote, and I want to just say this to you and, of course, your audience. Thank you for having me. I cannot tell you what a privilege it is to live in this country. Every time I come through immigration, that guy says to me, "Welcome home, sir," and I want to kiss him right on the mouth. Because if you've got any concerns about living in America, come to Africa for a while, and you'll be thrilled to be home.
I like it. I agree with you there. Well, tell us about what you've got going as far as the program that you're teaching over at Ryan's group. And I know that you've got quite a background in building service departments. Give us a little background on what's going on there.
Yeah, well, Ryan was a friend of mine first, and I tried to retire. I retired for one weekend, and I think you can relate to that.
Yeah, I can relate.
And Ryan asked me to write a service training course for people who want to get into service. And the reason he asked me is I've been in the roofing business since the 90s. I was an estimator and then sold estimating software and taught people how to estimate. And then worked for a small roofing company in South Florida that was losing money. And we started a service department there, and we put on a truck. Then we put on another truck, and I left there a couple of years ago. We had over 30 trucks. So, but Dave, you know what was really intriguing about that is I'm a bit of a document hog, you know, what do you call it? I store them. And so I had Microsoft Publisher documents describing how we were going to build a service business from one truck. And I look at how we're running it with over 30 trucks, and it was not different. The principles, it's like life, right? You can break yourself against the principles, but you can't break the principles. And so that really was reassuring to me. But also I realized, man, that so I don't have to share information with a $10 million service company. I can share with a guy who's got one truck or wants to start a truck, no trucks, because that's kind of the breadth of what I went through. And it's not as scary as it sounds.
Well, we had a service department in my business. We were fairly large commercial contractor. And we really started building our service department during one of the recessions, and we could see that fewer re-roofs, fewer replacements were being done, and we gave them an alternative for service, and we killed. I mean, I'll tell you, those were some of the best years that we've had. And here we are coming into a recession. I recommend everybody get into service, because not only is it an alternative, which you're going to see more and more of, because hey, you're going to have some empty buildings here, perhaps, and building owners are not going to want to do a major replacement, but they are interested in keeping that roof together, keeping it leak-free for the long term, and that's what service did. But I think the best thing about service is that it is just so profitable. And in our business, we did about 30% of our business in service. But over 50% of our profits came from that service department. It's great stuff. Is that what you found?
Absolutely. I mean, we got a perfect storm, really. You know, shortage of materials and potential recession. And, you know, you and I are old enough to go through the last dip in the economy. But what was really interesting about that is our service department did not lose during those years. In fact, our service department continued to grow, but our re-roofing department was cut, you know, down to about a quarter of it, of what it was. Mm-hmm. On the back end of that, when the money freed up, our re-roofing department exploded, like times 10, and our service department continued to grow. So the fact is that service helps re-roofing, and re-roofing helps service. I don't know which one it actually is. They both do it, but certainly in times like this, but service is a relationship business, you know, and you know what it's like. If you're trying to bid a re-roof, if you've got a relationship, you just have a much better opportunity to get to a negotiating point, right? It's not just a number that you're throwing out there. And profitability, absolutely. You can easily do $500,000 out of one truck. Mm-hmm. And of that $500,000, you should be keeping about $350,000 to $370,000 of that as gross profit.
Yep.
Now, you know, as I think it was Warren Buffett who said, gross profit is grossly overrated. Because it's gross profit, right? It's going to cover your cost of materials and labor. And then, of course, you've got to get your overhead out of that. But we experienced exactly the same thing. The business was paid for by the service department, effectively.
Yeah, and you're so right about coming out of the recession where your re-roofing business just explodes, because what you're doing with that service is you're building a fence around that building, around that client, and you have that relationship and keeping so many of your competitors away by doing regular annual service. And when it comes time to do the replacement, I mean, you're obviously in a great position to do that. So let's talk about how to get into the service department, service business, because I've got a lot of contractors that I work with that are interested in doing that. And it's really making that transition from zero into getting your first, your second, and third truck going is tough, because you may be coming out of residential trying to, you know, slowly get into commercial. This is where you want to start off, is in that service department. But really what it takes is you've got to have, you've got to be able to provide great service. So it's difficult if you don't have a fair amount of work coming in. You may have that guy or two guys, you know, sitting on the bench waiting for the work to come in. So it's tough making that transition. You've got to have the sales. You've got to have the interest in service. How do you get started? How do we make that transition? What does that look like for us?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about why, because I think that helps drive the how, and the word is service, right? So we get an opportunity to serve, and it's really important to actually do what you say in the service business, because you got to serve. But the reason for it, you know, first of all, most roofing manufacturers require building owners to have an ongoing maintenance program. And they should. They also require that you keep records. So first of all, you've got all of those roofs out there that should have a maintenance program going in order to keep the NDLs in place, right? Right. So that's one immediate reason. And the nice thing about that is a lot of your clients and a lot of the roofers we know have an existing client base. We just got to go out there and say, by the way, you know, as I review your NDL or warranty, you're required to do this, and I'm here to make sure that you can do it.
Right. You've got to keep those warranties in force, and this is how you do it. They're not aware of that, and you've got to remind that. And that's a great opportunity to get in, whether it's your roof or not. It doesn't have to be your roof, but they do have to keep that NDL maintained.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, Dave, is all roofs leak sometimes, right? And especially we're talking about low slope commercial roofs. They are going to leak. And the, you know, it's always intrigued me that you'll get a 25-year or 20-year warranty on a roof, and then you look at the spec sheet for the sealant and it says 8 to 10 years. So you're guaranteed that roof's going to leak, right? Because the sealant's going to perish, and you and I both know it's probably in less than 5 years. So those roofs leak, and I've always said that there are probably three reasons that roofs leak. The one is acts of God, which absolutely unavoidable. That roof is outside 365 days of the year, right? Right. The wind blows, hail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The next is acts of idiots.
Plenty of those around.
Yeah. I mean, how many bullets have you found on roofs?
Right.
You know, cigarettes, toolboxes being dropped, just traffic, you know. So, and the third is lack of maintenance. And quite frankly, maintenance will cover all of it. If you have an ongoing maintenance program, your roof, why should it leak? You know, I've got a great story I like to tell about a roofing contractor in South Florida whose roof collapsed onto his lap. because he wasn't maintaining his roof,
right.
And the drain got blocked. And in those days, no emergency overflows. You know, you got tons of water up there. And so, another one, if you look at some of the storm damage videos, they're in Canal Street in New Orleans. There's a roof system lying in Canal Street. You can see the membranes perfectly in perfect shape. You know, you could see the welds. It was a TPO system. The insulation was still attached, but it was lying in the street. And I don't know exactly what caused it, but my assumption is you had some leaks on the perimeter. The adhesion to the concrete was compromised. The wind blows across, it sucks it off and throws it in. Now, it's an opportunity to extend the life of a roof. And if you consider what an average re-roof is nowadays, probably $300,000. If you can extend the life of somebody's roof for 5, 10, or 15 years, that means a large part of that $300,000, at least half of it, but probably more, can stay in that owner's pocket for that period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask any banker what that's worth. That's great value.
Yeah, the way that we sold this was, I used the example, you buy a set of new tires and maybe you hit a curb, gets out of balance, and you're driving along. And the next thing you know is that, you know, the outside, you know, 2 inches of the tire has completely worn. You have to replace the tire. Roofs are the same way. They don't wear evenly. And that's why you have to maintain them. Because generally, when you have to replace the roof, it's only because 20, 30, 40% of the roof was bad. And it's gone too far and you have to replace it. So we want to catch these roofs before they get to that point. And there's so much opportunity, you know, particularly in our area, California. I mean, this is, you know, home of the cheap roof. It's just millions of square feet of, you know, concrete tilt-up kept sheet roofs. And, you know, earthquakes, so on and so forth. So it's a perfect opportunity to do that, but you have to get out and sell it. You have to explain this to building owners because they think, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and I got a 20-year warranty or 20-year who knows what in their mind, and they never keep up on it.
Yeah, and out of sight, out of mind, you know, it's like a cancer that's on your skin, but you don't see it and you don't take care of it. Because when I speak to building owners, I'll explain to them, you've really got three roofs. You know, the building owner thinks his roof is the acoustical ceiling above him. You know, that's the roof, right? Mm. But above that, it's got, you know, what's your substrate? Is it a metal deck? Is it a concrete deck? And then above that, you've got a roof system. So you may see nothing inside the building, but your roof system could be completely compromised already. And as you say, you know, most cities, the code, or counties, the code is 25% of the roof damage, it's got to go. So you've got a huge opportunity to extend the life. But you had asked me about getting this started because you do have to sell it. It's, you don't get opportunities to bid service projects, right? You know, so you can't get it from Dodge or one of these guys. That's not where it's going to come from. I actually talk about this quite a lot in the training that I put together for Ryan. But at the end of the day, the best way to describe it probably is in the shape of a pyramid. You know, if you think of a pyramid or a triangle, you're going to stand it on its base, right? Because that's the most stable way. You don't put it on the peak. And at the bottom of that pyramid has to be an effective technician. You need a couple of technicians who know how to fix commercial building leaks. So, you know, they know how to weld, they know how to torch, they're going to have to be able to handle sheet metal. But and you can teach these guys, but they're certainly available out there. And in fact, you have to teach them. Once you get your initial crew going, you want to be duplicating those guys so that you can add trucks. Because once you're known for service, you're going to get a lot of calls. Yep. And California, if it, you know, you guys are generally just making shade over there until the heavens open up and then it's leaking like crazy. So, I was chatting to a couple of guys, about a week ago. One guy said that one rainstorm, he got 600 leak requests in a day. You know, so that's a good business. But so you got to know how to do it, right? You got to know how to fix it. NRCA's got some great manuals on that that I talk about a lot. But the next level, I would say, of that pyramid is, do you understand what you're selling? What are the products and services you're offering? Because, you know, we're fortunate in the roofing business in that we're not Walmart. We don't have 100,000 SKUs, you know. But we do, in the service business, have at least 5 or 6. You've got time and material, which is really your lead into the business. You know, that's your reactive work. And that's where you're going to serve people, help them, and grow your business that way. Then you've got quoted scope of work. And this is really where you need to be if you want to grow a service business, because on time and material alone, you can't scale. You know, you're talking about $700-$800 repairs, 2 guys. How are you going to scale that? Yep. So you need to get your average job size up. And that's what a quoted scope of work is. And so you've got to have a strategy to handle that. Then you've got warranty type work. You've got ongoing maintenance that we just spoke about, which is a boon. Because I've got clients that are adding 30, 40 ongoing maintenance contracts a month to their company. And those average about $1,500 to $2,000 a year. So, you know, if you get 100 of those, you got over $1 million when you open your doors at the beginning of the year. And that's
reoccurring income. And I love that model because you're building value into your business. So if you go to sell your business, and you've got reoccurring income, that's gold. And that's why HVAC companies are worth so much money. But if you can do that, and that's why I love those maintenance contracts, and we try to get that on every roof, because we do want that reoccurring income. It's just building the value into your business.
Exactly. And the relationship. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a maintenance agreement with on a roof, and you know, I think what you just said is, we want to take every roof off the street. We want to own it, right? And if you've got an ongoing maintenance agreement, you're there when you see, man, this roof's going to need to be reskinned. It's going to need a torch a cap sheet on it, or maybe we're going to do a coating. We found most of those opportunities weren't put out to bid. We just got mm-hmm. that work because we were the roofer for that particular roof. And then the roof has to get re-roofed. And in those cases, you've got the relationship. You're probably going to get a last look. You know, you're going to be able to state your case that, hang on, the specs aren't equal here. Let me explain why my number is good. You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's critical. And the last component I was going to mention as far as products are concerned is tenant upfit or tenant build out type mm-hmm. work.
Right.
That is, and you know, because every time a shopping center changes their tenant, they're going to do some work on the roof. Or if you get in with a big grocery chain, they're moving refrigeration, they're moving pipes, so that's a great little business and to help build that average job size up.
Yeah. The way that we sold it, which is exactly the way you're describing it, one is we were one of those contractors that got 600 calls in a day. And one, you got to be prepared to do that because California, you know, doesn't rain all summer. I mean, we've got drought going on here, but we're going to have a big rain. That first big rain, it just opens up. We've got so many calls coming in. And then the storm goes away and we've got some clear weather that we can do the work. So what we did, we went out, we're out there in the rain. We're making temporary repairs. We're explaining that we're doing that on a time and material basis. And we go out there, make that temporary repair, serve the client And what they wanted to see, what the most important thing to them was, is that somebody just freaking shows up, okay? Because they've got tenants that are screaming their heads off. They've got water coming in, and they want somebody that responds. And if they get another call from that tenant, we've screwed up. So we want to coordinate that. We take that all over. We get out there, make that temporary repair, but then we've got to come back and make that repair permanent. And that's, again, we're just building up that first sale. Then when we're out there, we are going to do a survey of the roof. That we've got a big checklist and all this thing has to be dialed in. But that's the next step. We want to just get on that roof, fix a little leak, something, and then have the opportunity to survey that roof. And then once we do that, we're always going to find work to do. And that's where you talk about really where the money's made. And that's bringing the roof up to what we call a serviceable condition, getting that roof to wear evenly. So we don't have that situation like we have with the tire wearing out or the roof wearing out and needing replacement. So whatever that is, we'll go through the roof, and that could be, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 to just bring that roof up. We're not making any guarantees or anything. We're getting that up to the serviceable condition. And then we want to get that maintenance contract from there. Then it's simple. We've done all the work. Now it's a matter of making sure the drains are clean, cleared before winter, making sure that, you know, your idiots haven't been up there, you know, poking holes in the roof and all of those things. And that's the way that we did it. And that three-step process, you've got to have it dialed in. You really got to know what you're doing, though, and have a program, because you've got to sell this. They would come back with all the photos and all the information. And then we had a salesman. We had a service department, and this is what I really recommend. It's a separate division, separate people. We had salespeople, and they've got to be salespeople. These are not estimators that just go out. These are salespeople that go out there and show those prospects, those building owners, the value of doing this work. So that's the way that we did it. We made that transition. Let's talk about that, because we're going to be doing a workshop for our commercial mastermind group. And this is what they want to know about, is how do we charge for this? How do we have a organized program that we can use that's, you know, plug and play? And I know you've got a software program that you guys use. And let's talk about that, how we figure this out, how we keep it simple, and a repeatable process.
Yeah. Well, the thing about service is it's high volume, right? We do a lot of projects in a year. You're probably going to do thousands. And so without a software package, it's difficult to organize that. With a good software package, you can do it. And of course, I come from an estimating background. I believe in what you just said. We need salesmen selling service. Now, salesmen don't know roofing, right? But I do. So what I would do and have done is I'll pre-estimate what you're going to find on that roof. If you get on a typical TPO roof, there are probably 20 or 30 things you're going to find wrong with it, right? And you can fix them with 8 products. It's not that complicated. Now, they may show up in different ways, but I can teach a salesman how to identify those problems. And NRCA has got a great manual for that. But so I pre-estimate the problems I know we're going to run into. The next thing I do is I put a description of the problem and a description of the solution into my software. Now, my sales guy goes up there. He finds the problems. He takes a picture. He copies and pastes the problem. He copies and pastes the solution. And he multiplies the unit price by how long the deficiency is or how many there are. And now you've got a proposal. So it's really key. You know, the marketing and sales of service is something that's very different to re-roofing. Your brand is important because you need to be seen. And so I encourage guys to go with a bigger truck. That's a bigger billboard, but it's also a mini warehouse. You know, so now you've got your brand, you're visible, you're ready to repair any roof. So you can take clients from other roofers because you're ready. You can be there and get up, you know, and get the work done. And then if you've got a software that's pre-estimating your deficiencies for you, your salesman can fly. So, and of course, the other thing is you need to present a proposal for these, much like you do for a re-roof. But it's a much bigger proposal usually, because for a re-roof, you know, we might list all of the things we're going to do, or we might have a paragraph describing we're going to tear off, you know, we're going to go back with an insulation, you know, we get, et cetera. But with the service, each little deficiency is like a little re-roof, you know, it's, so you want to describe it well. And so if you've got a good software that'll put a proposal out, that's going to help you get your sales.
Yeah, I think also, you know, you've got to have that. But the main thing that you've got to get across is you're going to save them a lot of money by doing this. And they would be crazy not to. And that's how we sold it. The value of that and keeping it simple with, hey, here's some photos. It's obvious. You've got to solve this problem. We're the guys to solve it for you. And we're going to keep this thing up. Boom, done. It's got to be presented that way. And, you know, some of these guys, they want to see all the details and so forth. And so we've got to have that. But what you're selling is a huge savings to the building owner. And we're solving problems. This is how we avoid having, you know, these emergency leaks in the middle of the winter. You get tenants or, you know, shutting down your lines, not to mention that we've got water in the insulation. We've got a big problem. It's just not this little leak in here. We've got a major problem now and a major expense. And so this is what we're selling.
Yeah. And how leak tolerant is your client? You know, some clients are not leak tolerant at all. As you say, if you're going to stop the line, that's expensive. You know, if your mechanics can't repair cars, that's expensive. If you've got radiation equipment or, you know, any high-end medical equipment, that's expensive. And, you know, I've found roofers generally don't explain their value very well. And because they know roofing, they think, well, I'm going to go up there and fix it. Yeah. But having a roofer up there to inspect your roof is extremely valuable. You know, this is an expert. This is like a aircraft mechanic fixing an aircraft, you know, or checking the aircraft. So, and that's why salesmen are important here as well, because they can explain the value of 300,000 kept in your pocket for another 5 or 10 years, you know, and just through simple maintenance.
And to back up a little bit, when we're talking about these trucks, we're talking about building this service department. And that's really kind of how we build it out, is adding additional trucks. And we talk about a truck being, you know, a van, as you say, that's one, it's wrapped, it's looking professional, it's service. And we've got two guys in the van. And there always has to be, you know, and we explain it, hey, there has to be two people for insurance reasons and so forth. But we measure that by how much volume is that truck doing. And you say it could be $500,000 per truck, or it could be down to $250,000 a truck. And that's when you're selling that, you know, time and material work all the time. You've got to get that up to fixed cost, fixed price, and you got to get out there and sell them, because that's where the money's at. And we build one truck at a time and build out that service department. And, you know, you've got to have a program to do that. So, Brian, tell us a little about your program over there at Sales Transformation Group and the software program that you've got and how our listeners can, I believe there's a free trial, they can check this out. We can give them more information about the program. Tell us a little about that and what they do to find out more.
Yeah, so Sales Transformation Group is an organization that helps contractors sell, right? They'll put sales teams together. Mm-hmm. And then my course is taking those contractors and helping them build service businesses. So we go, I actually have 26 steps that they go through to build a service mm-hmm. business. Now, it's good to have all that information because you could run a $10 million service business with that information. But it's also good that you can see what problem am I running into with this service business. And let me go to that part of the course and see what the ideas are to make that work effectively. You know, I'm short of leads. And you know what business is like, right? You just got enough leads and now you don't have good technicians. Or you got great technicians, you don't have enough leads. Or you got both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you don't have the right materials on the truck, or you don't have it well scheduled or coordinated. So and that's what the course does. It teaches you step by step. We've got about 85 clients who've gone through this course. And I haven't got a bad client. The guys rave about it. They grow their businesses through it. And so it's been a humbling and fun experience, quite frankly. The software came because as far as having a package that can run a service department with huge volumes and get effective proposals, on top of that, you want to do job costing. You know, you want to make sure you're profitable. When you finished your proposal, you should have a material and labor list that you can hand to your technicians so that you're efficient. And so that's why we built the software, is because that was lacking. And then what about maintenance agreements? Just about everyone I run into says, how do I price maintenance? Well, there are about five factors that you should take into consideration. And so we built those into the software so that you can calculate a maintenance agreement very easily and consistently, because you don't want to have one guy sell a loser and the other guy sell a winner, right? So, those are the two programs, the course through Sales Transformation Group, and you get 26 videos. You get weekly coaching. You can have one-on-one time with me. A lot of the clients will do that. And then the software, as you say, there's a free trial available. And frankly, the way I like to get the software out there is I'll ask you, do you have a job for me to bid? Let me put a job into the software that's yours so that you recognize the roof, you recognize the problems, you know what it takes to fix it. And when you see it operating like that, then you can understand whether it has value for you or not.
Yeah, and you're right about the course is so valuable. It's a great investment because you really have to understand how to sell this. You have to understand the process, and that's what STG does a fantastic job about. We've gone through similar courses than that with that. And also having a great software program, because this has got everything you need. It's got the forms and, you know, all of the, you know, basically plug and play. So, Brian, how do we get in touch with you? Because this is obviously a great service. I think a lot of contractors are going to be interested in.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. And, you know, salestransformationgroup.com is the website for Sales Transformation. My cell number, I'm happy to give my cell number out because people text me. It's an easy way to communicate nowadays. You don't always have to answer it, right? So I'll give you my cell number right now. It's 954-268-6938. And you can reach out to me for the course or for the software if you want to take a look at it. And then I can connect you where you need to be connected, or I can help you directly.
That's great. And we'll have all that information in the show notes. And Brian, we're going to see you next in our workshop for our commercial mastermind group. And if you are interested in looking into that as far as having non-competing contractors in a group, we get on Zoom, maximum six contractors. We talk about all of these things, and they've got a lot of questions, and that's why I want to have Brian on. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get those questions answered, and we're going to get out there and kick some ass and make some money. So, Brian, thanks so much. We'll see you when we get going on that.
I look forward to that, Dave. That's going to be fun. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Great interview. I really like that guy. And he really knows what he's talking when it comes to building a service department. And that's the takeaway today, is look into building a service department. And this is why we have to split this off. John, you mentioned that earlier. If you're going to do residential or commercial, you've got to set up a separate division, a separate profit center, because your overhead is completely different with service. Overhead is much higher, and you have to compensate for that. You've got, you know, people don't charge enough money for repairs and service. You've got to charge a lot of money to be profitable. So that's our takeaway. Good stuff. Great show, John. How do they get more information? Get in touch with us. Get in touch with you.
Sure. So we gave you a bunch of links before, but you can reach out to me directly at The Roofer Coach on Instagram, Facebook, any social media platform. I'll respond as quickly as I can. We can even set up a coaching call to help you walk through that one-page business plan if we need to. Again, The Roofer Coach on anything. Instagram, I'm pretty responsive, pretty fast. So The Roofer Coach.
And you can get in touch with me on MySpace.
There's smoke signals out there. Oh,
God. That's why I got John. We had to bring the average age of this show down here. And now that John's on here, I think we're down to 60 years old. Okay.
Something like that.
We are killing it, man. There's some real youth here. So, hey, John, always a pleasure, man. Love working with you. And it brings some real world stuff that's going on right now. I mean, I did it for a long time, been there and done it, and can give that, you know, big overview, kind of the Yoda thing. But John, he's in there doing it every day, and I can sit back and watch him and go, I'm not glad I'm not doing that anymore.
That's right.
All right. Hey, well, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week on the Roofer Coach podcast.